Today on Maine Calling, the challenges of adulting in the modern world. Back about a decade ago, the term adulting became widespread. It acknowledged the challenges many young people face doing ordinary tasks in a complicated world. That was before the COVID pandemic and before housing and grocery costs skyrocketed. Needless to say, it is even more challenging to be a young person today. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we look at how the concept of adulting has changed, the ways in which many young adults struggle, and some of the programs out there to help them. Are you a young adult who is hesitant to ask for help? Have you helped or mentored someone younger than you? What's your experience? Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible by support from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure with 19 locations across the state, now open in Bangor and Waterville. And Quarry Cottages at Highland Green, committed to providing low-maintenance living and dedicated to creating a community where residents are free to pursue their passions. And Bangor Savings Bank, committed to helping Northern New England communities thrive. You matter more. Bangor.com. And North Yarmouth Academy, a 2025 AP Platinum School recognized by College Board, inviting families to tour campus, shadow a student, and explore its new dormitory.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. A decade ago, the term adulting was originally used ironically by young people, referring to doing things that signaled they were acting like adults. Today, it encompasses so much more. It is how young people are faced with navigating the complex responsibilities of being an adult in today's world. How do they learn what they need to know? This show is part of our series, Life Passages, about aging and the stages of life. My guests are all involved with teaching adulting skills. Laura Personet is Maine's 4-H Community Central Program Coordinator for the University of Maine Cooperative Extension, and she is 4-H Youth Development Professional for Androscoggin and Sagadahoc Counties. Rachel Upton is Program Coordinator at Bridge Academy, Maine. She is also Program Coordinator for Region 2 School of Applied Technology in Holton. And Stephen Couts is a personal finance instructor. He is the Financial Education Program Specialist at FAME Maine and adjunct instructor at Maine College of Art and Design. We invite you to join the conversation. What was your experiencing like entering adulthood? What do you think it's like for young people today? Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Thank you all for joining us today. Rachel, I'll start with you. You are around young people all the time. How would you describe those young people you work with who are in their late teens and 20s in terms of what they face as they approach adulthood? And what kind of challenges do they have to navigate that maybe those of us who are older might not realize?
Well, thank you very much for having me. And I'm very excited to talk about this topic. And you're right. I'm with students all day, every day, and it's a great experience because I work in career and technical education, and that is what CTE is all about, is helping students prepare for the world of adulting and getting them ready for that. So for me, I see students that are coming in who are excited to gain some of these skill sets, and I think for a lot of students, it's a little bit of lack of confidence and that a little fear of failure. So it's exciting at a CTE. We kind of set up opportunities for that planned failure, you know, where they can experience some failure in a safe environment. And I think that the difference for like my generation even and this generation, Honestly, I think it's stemming from a variety of factors, but one might be just how much the world has opened up. It's exploded, right? So there's so much coming at students, and I feel like they almost have too many choices, and that also just almost paralyzes them in that decision-making process. Whereas for us, you know, when we were younger, or I'll speak for myself, the set of jobs that you looked at were all those familiar ones. You know, I could be a nurse or a firefighter, just those general jobs. Now students are being bombarded with so many options. I think that does just paralyze them a little bit.
And you touched on something we've talked about before on Main Calling too, is the sort of the all the anxiety that we see in children and then young adults. Laura, I'm going to turn to you. Tell me about the young people you work with. How old are they and what kind of skills are you teaching?
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. And the young people that I work with in our Adulting 101 program are ages 13 to 18 from across the state of Maine. But 4-H also works on skills that young people can use from ages 5 to 18.
So younger. And so the 13 to 18 year olds, what are you focusing on? What are the, you know, when you're talking with the other instructors, when you're really saying, okay, of all the things we're teaching the kids, this is what we really need them to know at the end of this class.
We take an approach of really looking at some basics and introduction to various topics, particularly when you have a question, who can you go to that has more information than you do? Who has answers that can help you? Or who knows who might have those answers and how to find credible information for those questions? We have run topics from renting and roommates, to applying to college, to financial ideas, stress management, creating healthy food on a limited budget. We've done a lot of different things, and it very much depends on what young people are asking for at the moment.
It's so interesting that you started by saying teaching them the skill set to know who to turn to, because isn't that part of the issue is that the young adults don't, they feel shame in reaching out to somebody, but then also they don't like to pick up the phone. It's different than our generation where we picked up the phone and asked anybody anything.
Yeah, there's definitely that. There's hesitancy sometimes and not wanting to feel like they can't find the answer themselves. Every young person who I work with, they have been able to access the internet since they were very small. They can look up answers very quickly, but it may not be a complete answer, or it may not be an answer that really speaks to their situation or their approach to what will become adulting. We want to make sure that young people feel empowered to ask people questions that they have. So when we have guests visit our program, we ask them to share what's the best way to get in touch with them or someone else if it's a question that they don't have an answer to. We want young people to feel like they belong in the room to ask those questions and get the answers that they're really looking for.
Steve, your turn. You also teach an Adulting 101 class. Your focus is on finances. I'm going to remember back when I took personal finance in high school and I learned how to write a check and I learned how to make a budget, a basic household budget. I learned nothing about 401ks or 403bs. I learned nothing about credit scores or you name it. Steve, I'm guessing you teach in all of that and more.
I try to, and thanks for having me on the show today. I do. I teach whether I'm working with high school students, younger students, or college students, or adults, budgeting, credit score, retirement programs, all of that's on the menu. And as it relates to, the topic of entering adulthood, everything that like Laura and Rachel touched on, the thing for me is our financial system can be very rewarding, full of opportunity. I've lived in other countries. I've taught students from 50 countries. Really wonderful opportunities. However, it's really complicated, right? Our system is incredibly unforgiving if you don't know the rules, and don't know the. I don't like the word hacks because that's the big thing. Hack this, and no, good habits and understanding how our system works from a personal finance standpoint can help people access those opportunities. And that's when I'm working with young people, trying to give them those skills to apply to our system, because the information's out there, right? It's way too easy almost to look something up, but it can be overwhelming to have the confidence, like Laura was saying, to ask or to know what to listen to, because there can almost be too much. So yes, I focus on budgeting, absolutely, and many other things.
Well, and Steve, it's interesting because in so many things, it's okay to ask. But when it comes to money, people are often uncomfortable talking about money. So I'm guessing there's another layer of complication there. When you're teaching young people about finances and saying you want to ask someone, you need to be aware that that person may not want to be asked that question, may not want to reveal something about their personal finances.
It's so true. We in our culture, we don't like to talk about things like our salary or our money problems in detail, just generalities. I approach when I'm teaching whatever age, as long as I've been doing this, it's from personal experience. So I try to set the stage by saying, yes, I messed all this up when I was 18, 19, 20, 25. And it took quite a long time of learning to change that path and led me to want to teach young people. But regardless of the age I'm working with, yes, to try to make the environment such so that someone is willing to be vulnerable and ask questions or listen to educational talks about how to manage a credit score, or the difference between investing and speculation, or how to manage debts or access money for education, and how to pursue that in a really challenging climate. So those psychological aspects, that's one that you touched on, is the how difficult it can be to talk about it. And then there's all of the behavioral aspects of maybe sometimes knowing what we should do and then versus what we actually do, and the constant challenge to make our path the best we can.
Yeah, and Steve, I'm going to stay with you because the last time we talked about adulting on Maine Calling was 2019, and it strikes me that that was before the pandemic, and it's also before housing and food prices spiked. Can you characterize the reality that somebody who's 22 years old and graduating from college, or somebody 18 years old and graduating from high school into the workforce is facing?
I will try. It is something that every day in my work at FAME, and the audiences that I work with, my course at the Maine College of Art and Design, working with college students there, balancing education about our system and the nuts and bolts of everything, how to budget, with the realities of what's happened on the items that you mentioned, housing in particular, food costs in recent years. I try to apply a historical perspective that generations always face financial challenges. And right now, the housing costs relative to income are a major challenge. In another generation, it might have been 16% interest rates on a mortgage, even though housing costs didn't seem as far away compared to income. But when I'm teaching personal finance, as it relates to adulting, ultimately, I try to help folks see that through education on these issues, that can give them the power to make their own path through understanding spending versus income, understanding wants versus needs, understanding sacrifice and really tough choices. So, for example, someone today might be looking at having that roommate for a couple of years longer than a generation ago, in order to sock away extra money toward a home or whatever financial goal they're trying to reach. Education, you know, paying for education. The pathways exist, but they are difficult. So education on these and how to use tools like budgeting, how to use credit score to your advantage, how to use compound interest and other types of long-term things apply to everyone. And those principles haven't changed, even though the challenges around us are always shifting.
Rachel, I know you're talking to us from Aroostook County, and even though the housing prices are not great there, it's not quite as extreme as other parts of Maine. And I'm wondering if you're seeing more young people choose to live with their parents longer because of the costs of today's world than just a few years ago.
So, from my perspective, and you're right, Aroostook County, the prices aren't as astronomical, but they're certainly up there higher than they've ever been. I do see students trying to make some wise decisions. Students really heard that message in the last few years of don't get too much student debt. Loans, they really given the impression that loans are bad. And so, in their minds, they do have plans for, I think I will commute to college and live at home. I'm hearing that a lot. And I worry about that sometimes because I think it is such a great experience for students to get on campus. But I do see students coming home if they've gone to Southern Maine or if they, Central Maine area. Just realizing that the cost to rent, have an apartment or even to find one is crazy. So they do end up coming home and living with their parents. And they have to weigh that all out and figure out the best route for them so that they don't overextend themselves financially and hopefully learn some of those skills along the way of how they're going to step out and get their own apartment ultimately, from there. So.
Laura, I'm wondering if you can give us some guidance, those of us who have young people in our lives and are listening to this and thinking, okay, I have a little more empathy. How can I help the young person in my life navigate this tricky time in our country and in their life?
That's a fantastic question. I think one of the biggest ways that we can support young people in any type of question, including that, is being honest and saying, I do not know, but we will figure this out together. The concept of needing to find information. And one of the ways that we have approached that is thinking about if a young person is like, I'm ready to move out on my own, I have a job, I have a decent enough vehicle, I'm ready to do the things. Really taking a look at what does, and I'm going to speak to Steve's area here, but what are all the things that are involved with that? Not just the rent, but what is the cost of the electricity or all of the other pieces that go along with that? You may have a car payment, but what happens when that car breaks? How much of a cushion do you have in your budget? And I think that one of the pieces as adults that even myself I need to do for myself is realize that it is a different world than when I was there. So I'm not going to have all the answers, but I'm willing to go find the answers to those questions for young people.
All right, well, we are talking about adulting in 2026. What are your questions or comments? You can give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Our topic today, adulting. What challenges people in their late teens and 20s, what they face as they enter adulthood. What basic life skills do they need? How has it changed over the years? Joining me for the hour, Steve Couts, who is a personal finance teacher. He works with FAME at Maine at the Maine College of Art and Design. Laura Personette is a 4-H Community Central Program Coordinator for the UMaine Cooperative Extension and works with 4-H Youth Development in Androscoggin and Sagadahoc counties. And Rachel Upton is Program Coordinator at Bridge Academy, Maine, and also at Region 2 School of Applied Technology in Holton. We invite you to join the conversation. As a parent, have you grappled with what to teach your young adult or what to let them learn on their own? What do you wish somebody else had taught you how to do? Send a brief email, talk@mainpublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Joining us now is Jaden Kyung Moon Bouch. She is an artist and creative director and financial educator with The Financial Palette. Thanks so much for calling in, Jaden.
Thank you for having me.
So I understand you're 22 years old, so technically you're an adult, but a young adult by any measure. Tell me about what the last few years were like as you moved from your teens into your young adulthood. Were there challenges or gaps in your knowledge that you sort of felt like, boy, I wish I had this under control?
Oh, gosh, absolutely. Especially on the financial side of things. I feel like I grew up not knowing a lot about personal finance, about money. So I was forced to go out and seek that knowledge for myself. And subsequently, some of it came from learned experience. So when I was a sophomore in college, I had to get a root canal, and it was like $4,000. And I didn't understand that that was pretty outrageous as far as a price. And I also didn't know how to really navigate that. So for me, it was a lot of doing my own research, trying to ask other people, and learning from a lot of the mistakes that I was making.
All right. So you have turned this into part of what you do now, part of your mission in life. Tell us about The Financial Palette. What is this?
Yeah, The Financial Palette is a financial education company. Mostly we do seminars at art colleges and art institutions, talking more specifically about the challenges that creative people face when it comes to money, and also focusing on younger creative people, especially where, you know, when someone tells you that they're an artist, a lot of people's assumption isn't that they're financially abundant or financially knowledgeable.
Well, and also I think a lot of people have this idea that artists maybe, you know, that we have different sides of our brain and that the creative side of our brain isn't the side of our brain that does well with money. Have you found that to be true? And how do you help people who are artistic sort of bridge that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me, and maybe it's because I am partially a numbers person, I haven't encountered that too much because I think something that we often tell ourselves about personal finances is that it's a lot of math and it's a lot of numbers and Excel and it all looks very complicated. But to be honest, I would say much of it is understanding psychological skills, understanding more concepts versus doing numbers. So I would say what I usually focus on is the psychological skills, also the practical number side, but I think that the mental barriers are so much larger.
All right. So I'm going to ask you that question that you see so often in interviews, but knowing what you know now, Jaden, at the ripe old age of 22, what would you tell your younger self?
I would tell my younger self not to think of things as black and white. I think in the personal finance world, everyone has a strong opinion. You've probably heard things like, you know, pay off all your debt before you invest. Actually, leverage is the key to wealth. Take on as much debt as you can. Everyone has these strong beliefs about what you should do, and they're often presented as a universal truth. But the reality is that not everything is going to work for everyone, and I wish I understood that sooner.
Well, Jaden, thank you so much for calling in. Jaden Kyung Moon Bouch is an artist and financial educator who started The Financial Palette. Congratulations to you. Steve, I want to turn to you before we move on. What do you think of Jaden's advice to not look at everything so black and white?
Well, Jaden, as you heard, is pretty sharp on these matters. And I actually learned a lot from Jaden. She is the one who started the course at the Maine College of Art and Design, which I ended up teaching. and she was helping me with that course as a TA. And I one of the things about Jaden was that how she turned these challenges into learning and then turned the learning into action to take command of her situation. And that is what she teaches through her work, especially focused on people in the creative community, but in general. And I think the more I work with right now middle schoolers and high schoolers, you know, I'm not seeing every kid in the state, but I do get around to a lot of different places, and there is a sort of curiosity and assertiveness right now that I'm seeing, which is great, around financial topics. Like, I need to learn. I want to learn. I've had middle schoolers tell me more about credit score. When I was teaching middle school, they were not asking me about credit score. They might ask about the stock market, but not credit score. So this idea, and this is Jaden's phrase, empowerment through education, that could be applied to anything, but especially when it comes to navigating our financial system for adulting. Knowing more, and that informs your decisions for your future self, all these things that you would tell to your former self.
I'm going to go to Marty calling from Farmingdale. Hi, Marty, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This financial aspect is fantastic. I'm glad they're touching on that. But I was hoping to bounce back to earlier speaking about the dealing with anxiety, especially post-COVID. I have two boys that went through that, and you know, we certainly see the effects from it. But what we don't see as much is kind of preparing for going forward. You know, it seems like a lot of dealing with the anxiety, but not so much dealing how to deal with it rather than just coping with it. You know, once they're out in the real world, there's not going to be all those buffers. So coping with it and how to deal with it rather than just getting by. I wonder what your callers, I'm sorry, what your guests might have to say about that, what they've seen.
Yeah, sure, Marty. Thank you. I will say on behalf of my guests, I don't think any of you are psychologists or therapists, but you do work with young people all the time. Rachel, I'll turn to you. How do you talk to the young people you work with about the anxiety?
So honestly, you know, I think it's important to help kids name anxiety, like, and help them come up with the words as to what is it that's making you anxious? How are those feelings stopping you from doing the things that you really want to do? And so, you know, having those conversations, giving them the words to express that. But I also try to talk to them about the more options you leave open for yourself. So like at a CTE, you know, you can build some stackable credentials, right? So, you know, you can walk out of a welding class knowing how to weld. You also earned some welding certifications. You've earned some first aid CPR certifications. The more you build that repertoire, the more confidence you're going to have, which also can help tamp down some anxiety. And, you know, all those opportunities are chances for you to face your anxiety head on, do the thing. And here in our case, in the CTE, you know, you can fail at first and that's okay. And talking to them about what failure feels like, how to work through failures, and then picking yourself back up, dusting yourself off, and let's try it again. We have lots of conversations like that in my office.
Yeah, Marty, thank you. Go ahead, Laura.
One thing I loved that you said, Rachel, was naming the anxiety or naming the feelings that go along with that. And I think one of the pieces that I try to bring up when we're talking about stress management is what is at the root of what is making you anxious? So what is the question that you want to ask and the answer that would help with whatever that is? Because every single person on the planet experiences anxiety differently, myself included. So what is the question that you want to ask that would help get beyond the anxiety that you're feeling at a given moment or about an experience or about a situation? In 4-H, we talk about having a connection to a caring adult, someone that you can go to and ask, not the question of like, solve my anxiety for me, but the question of where can I go to get information that I'm looking for and exploring who those people might be for a young person.
Yeah, and maybe just understanding that we all have anxiety and you are not alone when you are feeling this. Like you said, Laura, we're going to go to Maggie Castelline, who is 20 and studying philosophy at the University of Maine. She'll graduate this spring. Thanks for joining us, Maggie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, we are talking about adulting, and you are sort of in that tricky stage of life where you are not quite fully into adulthood, being on a college campus, but boy, pretty darn close. What do you find tricky about the stage of life you're in?
I think the most difficult thing for me is definitely that weird balance. You know, you're on a college campus, you're surrounded by other people, but I also recently moved off campus into Bangor, where it's mainly, you know, adults and older people with families, and it's difficult to find things to do, and it's also difficult to, like, get yourself out of the routine and the responsibilities that you are starting to take on, and not being too intimidated by those responsibilities of, like, oh, I have to go get groceries, oh, I have to, you know, go get all my homework done for my classes and go to work and that, and taking time to step out of that and be like, also, I'm 20. Also, I should, you know, go to a concert or go out or go for a hike or something like that. So, yeah, that's something I've had difficulty balancing myself.
Yeah, Maggie, you just used a word that I find problematic, and I'm not saying that to shame you, which is should. What I should be doing at any given time. Do you feel like 20-year-olds should themselves a lot?
Oh, yeah, entirely. And I feel like that's part of the difficulty of the balance, is both of those aspects are things that you feel you should be doing, you know? And I think it also factors into being so young. There's a lot of just second guessing of your own decision making, you know, buying a first car, renting an apartment, all that kind of stuff. It's, you know, am I doing this in the right way? And I think that feeds into some of the people earlier were talking about, you know, just anxiety. And I think that can make those decisions feel even more heavy and complicated, even though it is pretty much, you know, if you make a wrong decision, it'll be okay no matter what. So, yeah, that's definitely something I find myself and my peers doing a lot.
So, Maggie, the adulting skills that you have today that you maybe didn't have a few years ago, who'd you learn them from?
Oh, gosh. A little bit my parents, and then a lot of just going through it. I feel like a lot of this stuff can feel very mystical, like, you know, credit scores and taxes and filling out rental applications and stuff like that can feel very, like, vague and what is even going on here. But then once you're actually in it and, like, I'm checking my credit score now and I'm filling out these applications, there is really so much information just as you're going through the process that helps you along and is guiding you and reassuring you and stuff like that. I remember when I was turning on my electricity, I was just like, how does this even work? And then, you know, the website was helpful, but also just the woman on the phone was super helpful. And you're like, yep, this is the process. Here you go. Because, you know, the other things, thousands of people are doing this every day that are my age and 40 years older. And we all kind of don't understand it and need help with it. So I think that's really helped me a lot as well.
Maggie, I'm going to have Rachel Upton, one of our guests, weigh in. Rachel, go ahead.
Hi, Maggie. So interestingly, for the work that I do with Bridge Academy Maine, we surveyed our students from around the state. And I was genuinely impressed, I guess, is the word I really want to use, about their willingness to tell me that they're struggling with time management. And I think that it's more about just what you're saying is, as you enter adulthood, you're realizing, geez, I'm the person that's navigating this ship, right? And I need to figure out how to best spend my time each day. And am I doing all the things that I should be doing right now? And that is, those are real pressures, and I get that. And I think that we're going to really, as adults all around you, be talking about this more and more, about how to help people shape their, literally shape your day. Like, think about what's important to you, What are the things you want to accomplish? And like you said, it's so easy before you know it, just the doldrums of every day, you know, all the nitty gritty things you have to do before you know it, your day's gone. And so being more intentional about how you plan your day could ultimately help with some of those anxieties of that pressure of, am I doing all the things that I quote unquote should be doing?
Maggie, I understand. A little bird told me that you actually like doing your taxes. Tell me about that. Let's explore that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, part of it is probably that I am like under the income thing so that I get a bunch of money back on my taxes. So it does feel like a little reward for me. And I know that that is not universal by any means. And I also am like someone who enjoys standardized tests. Like I just like structured activities. And so like gathering all the forms and putting it all in, it's just very, very organized and very satisfying in a very particular way for me. And it was also something that I thought was like so mystical and intimidating. And then once I started going through the process and finding resources, I was just like, okay, this is pretty much right here. And I'm getting a bunch of money back, which is very satisfying. So yeah, that's my taxes hot take. I'm not sure if that will persist as I get older and they get more complicated and I, you know, actually have assets, but.
That's okay. Rachel, go ahead.
So Maggie, I think it's so interesting that you just said that because your desire for structure is where this pressure is coming from, I would believe. I can't diagnose you by any means, but just in my experiences with career counseling with students, and listening to you talk this morning, you just hit the nail on the head. You love structure. You like things that are organized. So, you know, it hits home with me that that's what I'm going to continue focusing on with my students is helping them to structure their day. So they feel like at the end of the week, I've done X, Y, and Z. And there are a lot of cool time management apps even paper pencil opportunities of ways to structure your time that I think would make you feel better. And I know it's worked for me. I have to color code everything and organize my day that way. And I do feel more productive when I do that. And probably, Maggie, from the sounds of things and listening to you talk, you're way more organized and on top of things than you are kind of expressing and being vulnerable with us about.
Yeah. Well, Maggie, thank you so much for calling in. Good luck to you. Maggie Castelline is graduating this spring from the University of Maine. Congratulations. We're going to take another quick break. Our number, 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we are talking about today's young adults and the concept of adulting. What does it mean today? Our guest today, Laura Personette with UMaine Cooperative Extension's 4-H program, Rachel Upton with Bridge Academy Maine and Region 2 School of Applied Technology in Holton, and Steve Kautz, a personal finance instructor with FAME Maine and at Maine College of Art and Design. Share your comments and questions. Our phone number 1-800-399-3566. If you're quick, you can send a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. We'll go to Sophie, who's calling from Elliott. Hi, Sophie. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I like hearing from both ends of the state today. Go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to talk about that. I'm glad that we're having this conversation. Adulting is definitely hard. As someone on the kind of end of the adulting spectrum, I'm 32, but I just moved back with my parents in Elliott, Maine right now. And I kind of wanted to talk about the disadvantages that young people today are kind of already at. Things are a lot more expensive. We're living in a different world than, you know, older people, my parents. Getting out of college and having student loans that you can't afford, you're sort of in the negative to begin with. And then more specifically in this Seacoast area, you hear a lot about young Mainers leaving the state. I mean, we're the oldest state in the country. And I think a lot of it is because it's unaffordable to live here as a young person who's already at a disadvantage. And myself right now, I'm looking for apartments around and I just fully can't afford them because so many older people have kind of come in and bought out the housing market. I mean, prices for a one bedroom are upwards of $3,000 and that is just not attainable. And I think that's, you know, a big issue we're having across the country and particularly in this state and in this area.
Yeah, Sophie, we've just completed a whole 2-year series on Maine Calling about the housing crisis. So, it breaks my heart a little bit to hear how you've been caught up in that. But we've also heard from many people who say there's absolutely no shame in coming home for a little while. Well, you figure things out, and my guests are nodding as we say that. Steve, do you have any thoughts or advice for Sophie?
I first want to empathize because feeling that way, it's very real. This sense of, because it's not a sense, it's real. The numbers don't lie. It has, in relation to income, housing has gone up much faster in Maine, in a lot of places, but especially we've seen it right here. So in a recent blog post I wrote about this, what I'm trying to focus on is what we can do. It's very tough choices that have to be made in order to, it sounds like Sophie's already doing that, making these tough choices to reallocate resources to try to meet that, you know, ability to rent or save for a down payment. It is quite the uphill battle and there is no magic wand. So short of a, you know, political solutions may be talked about, they come and go, they may or may not happen. But what we do know with our finances are the things that we can control. And again, it comes down to very tough choices. And I am speaking from personal experience. I have a youngster myself at home who will be facing this someday. And I think about it all the time for him and all the young people that I'm teaching. So again, no easy answer. But when it comes to personal finance, it's back to basics like Sophie's doing right now, reallocating from a real tough analysis of wants versus needs in today's life versus our future life. And those are the things we can influence, maybe not control completely, while we're also looking in the environment around us, the economic environment, to see if relief might change things.
And Sophie, I'll tell you that the personal finance columnist, Michelle Singletary, is a regular guest on Maine Calling, and her own daughters have lived with her well into adulthood on her recommendation. She feels as though that's a very wise decision. And she also wants us to rethink, and we're going to come back to that word should, the shoulding of you should be out of the house by a certain date and you should be able to make it. It's just so counterproductive. And historically, Steve, I'll turn to you, not how humans have lived, I always think about this when I drive around rural Maine and I see a great big farmhouse. I know that was 3 or 4 generations living together and that was the norm, not the exception.
Yeah, it's economics is my hobby and the economics at play are very strong. And then there's cultural pieces. I've lived in a few different countries and I can tell you that culturally, Americans, we leave home sooner. And we go out on our own. And a lot of that has to do with our history. You know, the go west young man phrase basically translated into 100 generations of get out on your own. But the economic realities today are putting pressure on that to go the other direction, which is what other countries experience normally. I've recently researched this, and the United States is somewhere in the middle of the age that we leave home, but anecdotally, not statistically, anecdotally, I think we all feel, I do feel that it's younger here than in many countries where people routinely live at home into their 30s so that they can sock away money to buy what is relatively even more expensive properties than here. So yes, it is. And our household size in Maine, our household size has gone down. Houses are bigger, and fewer people are living in them. And the economics of that puts pressure on price. And the only way we can combat that individually is to try to modify our living situation, be it through roommates, living at home, etc., and cutting other costs. There's a lot of costs in our lives that we're going to have to look at in order to meet the housing challenge individually.
Rachel.
I would definitely agree with all that. And I think it's important to remember, and I share this with students in a to do with like jobs. And I think a lot of people think that all the adults around them had this perfect linear pathway to from where they started to where they are now. And I bet if you just interviewed the four of us on this call today, our path was not linear. It wasn't nice straight line. It wasn't, you know, we had this dream when we were little and everything fell into place exactly the way we dreamed it up. And I think so many people, students, you, think that that's how, again, how it should be, but it is definitely not. And everybody's path looks different to get to. And there really isn't the end. There's no end. It all, you know, grows.
Yeah, Laura, go ahead.
This is bringing up for me the concept of goal setting. And the conversation that I've had with young people a lot around goal setting is to everything that you just spoke about, both Rachel and Steve and others, what is the ultimate goal that you want to achieve for yourself right now? And we can think about that in a financial sense. And then having this conversation around whatever steps you put in your path for your goal, we need to know that they are going to change. Things are going to come up. You're going to have experiences that maybe they change your goal, or maybe they change your situation financially. And that is okay. There is a fantastic image that you can find online where it's like the plan is this wonderful straight line, and then reality is a squiggle all over the screen until you finally get to potentially your original goal, but it may have been a different one.
And it might end up being even a better goal. Sophie, good luck to you. We're going to go to Gina calling from Yarmouth. Hi, Gina, go ahead.
Hi, I am fascinated to hear all of these great suggestions about continuing to live with your parents. And I am a practitioner and teacher of a courageous, compassionate form of communication known as nonviolent communication, based on the work of Marshall Rosenberg. And in that work, it supports folks in learning to identify feelings, learning to identify the needs that are driving those feelings, how to express oneself honestly, how to listen effectively, how to make effective requests, and really deeply addressing the anxiety folks were talking about. With all of that knowledge and support on board, how do I connect with myself and support myself in perhaps living with my parents indefinitely or my roommates indefinitely? All of this communication is a big part of becoming an adult. Yeah, the anxiety is universal, but how do I support myself in identifying the needs that might be giving rise to that anxiety and my conflicts
And
with my
China,
roommate?
Gina, do you think that perhaps young people today have a little bit of a disadvantage in learning these important communication skills because of the COVID pandemic and because at critical times in their life, they were doing school from home?
That's true. That's a real possibility. And I also think communication has shifted to devices, right? I mean, in the last generation, the iPhone and the smartphone were invented. And a lot of people communicate even within the same building via text, which is not the best way to get your honest expression across. So that's what happens with nonviolent communication. I'm looking forward to being in touch with Rachel and Laura, particularly about how we can. There are a lot of people in Maine who have the skills to offer this to young people.
Gina, thank you so much for your call. I want to go to a Facebook post here. This is from Shane. Shane writes, "My oldest is in a program that helps place young people into entry-level jobs. It is not an easy thing these days. We are so far past the time of walking up with a resume and asking the manager if they're hiring." And Steve, I wanted to end on this because I think that sometimes people in other generations don't quite get that.
Absolutely. Nothing's the same. And for all of us representing different generations, again, I said this earlier, there are always challenges. And today's challenges are formed out of what's happened in the last several years with a pandemic, something that hadn't happened in 100 years before that. So we're seeing young people now facing something that I can't relate to. But the world around when it comes to adulting and navigating all the obstacles that everyone's talked about today, including financial and otherwise, that world continues on. And yet these challenges that this generation faces, I think about, I wrote about this in a blog post. The whole thing was kids these days, that phrase, kids these days. Well, over 2,000 years ago, Aristotle said the same thing. He said the young people with their exalted notions and all this other stuff. So, we look at today, education, and what we can
Thank
do.
you. Thank you, Steve. I need to cut you off because our show's almost over. That's Steve Counts, Financial Education Program Specialist at FAME Maine and also Adjunct Instructor at Maine College of Art and Design. Laura Personette, also with us with Maine 4-H through UMaine Cooperative Extension, and Rachel Upton at Bridge Academy, Maine, and the CTE School in Houlton.